bring us the word, and it's going to be wonderful. And we just know that God's going to speak through her. So let me pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it's something we may have heard many times, but you always open a way for us to hear it afresh. I pray that you might be with Amy. I pray and thank her. Thank you for her preparation, for her words that are going to come out of her mouth. And we just pray that we might have ears that are open to hear, that we might be changed by those words that we hear, that we might be challenged in how we pray. We just pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Do you need... Thank you, Chris. Well, it's great to see you all. My name is Amy, if you hadn't worked that out yet, with a few little introductions there. And along with my husband, Mark, we actually manage the Q Student Residence, which is a university accommodation for 50 students. We opened last weekend, so we've had 50 students come move in with us over the last week, and it's been awesome. We've got a few tired faces in the crowd, I think, after a week of O Week. Hands up if you're at O Week, you're a student or a staff member here, hands up high if you can manage the energy. Yeah, give them a clap, they survived. I think our O Weeks might be quite different to many of the O Weeks that you hear about, a lot different, I should say, on the news and in the media. And the other thing that I get to do, which I've only been doing for 5 weeks, but it's been a real privilege and just such a joy so far, is to be the Generations Pastor here. And so I get to work with Nick and Amanda and Lauren and Benji. I had someone at morning church talk to me this morning. They didn't go to this church. And they said, oh, I've been ringing the church. I've been talking to your husband, Benji. I was like, no. Got your wires a little bit crossed there. And also Mike, get to work with him at church as well. And now Tom Black. Definitely going to have some pranks. You're not going to get away with that. We will be pranking you for sure. But it is such a great team, and it's just such an honour to be able to, for me personally, to be able to be a part of both of these amazing things, church and also Res. So tonight we are continuing on with our series on prayer, and we had Nick speak 2 weeks ago on why we should pray, and then last week we had Lauren speak to us about adoration. I just loved last week with Lauren, just that time to really stop and think and pause and think about how we're adoring our God through our prayers. So often we skip to the other bits, the bits that I'm going to talk about tonight, but it was just such a great reminder, and it was just really, really encouraging. So tonight we are talking about petition and petition in prayer. When you first hear the word petition, if you're like me, I straight away think of sign this petition. I think of someone lobbying for a cause. Maybe they're really passionate about something. Come and sign this petition, something to do with government, politics, whatever it is. But that's probably the first thought that comes into my mind with that word. And it can actually have a little bit of a negative, maybe even aggressive connotation with that word. But I have to say, looking into this in prayer and in scripture, petition is not a passive activity. So if you're here tonight thinking, oh, Amy's just going to be really gentle, I'm not. It's not a passive activity at all, and it's really exciting to see what God's word says about it. I can definitely tell you in my own life, I have seen petition prayers do amazing things. I've seen answers to prayers. I've seen breakthroughs because of this. So it's probably the most commonly used type of prayer. It's the prayer where we're asking or requesting something from God. And so we're pretty good at doing this, if we're honest. And I think at times we actually hear sermons, or even within ourselves, we can feel a bit like, oh, we're doing it too much. We're actually asking too much. We're requesting too much. Maybe you've heard a sermon that says, you know, is your prayer life becoming like your shopping list? You know, I need this, 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 and then you sign out. So there's this healthy balance that we're trying to seek with petition. We want to be requesting things of God for ourselves and for others, but we don't ever want it to get to the point that that's all we're doing. We're just asking for things, and we're on our shopping list prayer. I love what Tom Wright says, and there should be a quote up above me here. He says, At its lowest, prayer is shouting into a void on the off chance there may be someone out there listening. At its highest, prayer merges into love as the presence of God becomes so real that we pass beyond words and into a sense of His reality, generosity, delight, and grace. And it was so great to have Chris read that scripture earlier, and then Peter as well, to pray through the Lord's Prayer, because this is the text that we're looking at tonight, and we're going to pull it apart a little bit. So I want to first of all look at Matthew 6, and if you've got your Bibles, have them open or grab one from the pews there. So Matthew 6, 5 to 15 is where we're looking, but we'll start with verses 5 to 7. So I'm just going to read it again and again. It should be up there for you. It says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Now, at the time that Jesus was talking about this and he was teaching about this, the Jewish people actually had 18 benedictions, which were 18 scriptures that they memorized and that they had to pray three times a day, morning, noon, and night. And so some of them would go away quietly and do this on their own, but some of them were going out and doing this very publicly, you know, almost like an oral presentation, this big public spectacle, and showing their spiritual prowess, I guess, on street corners, in the synagogues, which is the churches. And Jesus is pretty blunt about this. He says, he actually calls them hypocrites. He's not very friendly about it. He says, really, that what they're doing is for the public and for people to see so they can impress others. But he's saying, go away, be with me quietly. Don't try to impress me. Don't try to impress others. I just want you by myself and to have that time together. And so really we get the sense that these prayers these people were praying perhaps weren't from a genuine heart at all. In verse 6, the Greek translation of the word room can actually be translated to closet. Doesn't sound very appealing, does it? Go and pray in the closet. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'd be too happy in there. But it's basically a small interior room without windows used for storage. And why would Jesus go to such a drastic measure to tell us to go into basically a closet, a tiny room without windows? I mean, it sounds awful, doesn't it? But I think that he knows in that culture at that time and in this culture today, in the 21st century, we have distractions everywhere. Everywhere, and even a window could be a distraction. And so this word room is really symbolic of the fact that we need to find spaces and places where actually there are no distractions, where it's purely just us meeting and chatting and conversing with God. I really loved what Nick talked about 2 weeks ago when he talked about how our phones and often our alarm clocks, and so we get woken up by our phones, and then before you know it, it's like, oh, Facebook, they're in a relationship, or what's going on here, or, you know, like you said, someone's cat video, and then you, well, probably not me, but a lot of you, Tom Black, would be reading, you know, news articles and things like that. But it actually is so true. It's actually what happens. We know this. We have these devices. I mean, Mark bought me this Apple Watch for Christmas and I love it, but I've got two levels of distraction now. I'm like, I'm beeping here and I'm beeping here. And there's so many ways that we are distracted. And so for us, especially, you know, it's the way we connect with people on our phones, and that's completely fine. But for us today, especially in our young adult generation, I really think that what Jesus is saying is leave your phone outside the closet. Whatever your closet is, leave it out there. Leave your Apple Watch there. Just don't even try and do everything at once. Just focus on that time with God, because He wants to meet you there. He's got some amazing things to speak to you about and to impart on your life, which is really exciting. So, some of you might be thinking, this is all good and well, find a room, find a space, but there's something I don't have, Amy, and that's time. And look, I can relate. I can totally relate. I feel as though there are days where I think, how is it 4 o'clock already? You know, where is the time gone? And we all go through different seasons, different times where we're, you know, busier and full. And it's let's be honest, it's not hard to be busy in this day and age, is it? If you're not busy, then I'm so impressed, because it's actually just life. There's so much happening and so much around us. So I think my encouragement as well for you tonight is, you know, find that room, find that space. That's the ideal. That's the ideal spot to chat and petition your prayers with God. But as well, be creative with how you pray. I know for me, I've had to change that probably over the last 7 years. I wonder why that is. I've got a son turning seven on Thursday, but I've had to change a little bit. I find some of my best petition prayers are prayed in the shower, and I'm going to say it, on the loo. It's true. It is true, because I can lock the bathroom door and I've got that uninterrupted space. It's really good. It's a bit sad to say. It's not that, you know, maybe nice in a closet still, but it is where I find that space. Another thing I've started to do in the last couple of years is to pray and run. And I'm not a natural runner, trust me. But I find that that's, you know, maybe half an hour I have of uninterrupted time where I can just be jogging and chatting to God. And it's awesome when I'm semi-struggling, and like especially up a hill, because my prayers get so passionate. I'm like, and God, you need to do this, because I'm about to pass out and so I'm really struggling. And, you know, it's good. It's good time of prayer. But what is it for you that you could do that's maybe out of the box, you know? I love, again, Nick talking on his mobile phone, but he's actually praying. He said he walks around pretending to talk on the phone, but he's actually praying. I love that, you know, at the traffic lights, tapping his fingers, you know, at the car, pretending he's singing to a song, but he's praying. What can you do to talk to God, to be petitioning and praying to God that is a little bit different? Keeping that constant conversation happening, it's really cool. And let me know your ideas, because I'm always open for some new ones. That's good. Some of you might actually find that petition is perhaps just a bit uncomfortable. Maybe you're not sure how to start. How do I petition a prayer? Petition is really, as I said, it's a request from God. So it can be anything like, you know, praying for the car park at Coles or Westfield. I'm sure we're all guilty of that. But it can be praying for someone else's need, maybe a family member who is sick. It can be asking for a major breakthrough in your faith and in your spiritual journey. It's a really, really broad range. And I think I've missed, there's a little quote I had here somewhere. I might have my, no, oh dear, I'm getting all muddled. No, that's okay. I'll just talk about this instead. Something that we're trying to do in this series is we're trying to give you some practical tools. So some things that you can take away that are actually practical things that you can do during the week to just work on whatever it is we've talked about. So last week, Lauren, with adoration, she had some amazing scriptures there from the Psalms that you could pray as adoration prayers, which was awesome. And this week, I've just got this little handout. They're up the back. You may have got one on your way in. But it has five spots there, and you can actually write five of your requests. So five petition prayers. It could be something for you, something for someone else. It could be a need you have at work or at uni. It could be for a neighbour. It could be that, I don't know, you've got someone in your family who's really unwell. And the encouragement is to pray that every day, even twice a day, morning and night, and see how long you can do this. Like, it's not a competition. We're not going to check here. But in a few weeks' time, it would be awesome to hear back and see if some of these petitions that you're praying daily have actually come to fulfillment. So maybe stick it, you know, on your mirror, in your bathroom, on your fridge, somewhere where you can see it. And yeah, have a go at doing that, and it'll be really exciting to see what things happen. So, all right, let's go back to our text. I just need to have a quick look, because I feel like I have actually mucked up my words. I've only got 14 pages here, guys, so it's I need to make sure you're in for a ride. Strap in, people. All right, no, that's okay. Okay, so in verse 7, where it talks about, we've talked about that, where they're babbling on. All right, we're up to there. So when Jesus is talking about this in Matthew, really, I love this. It's quite refreshing, because what it's saying to us is you do not need a PhD to construct a prayer. You do not need to have had theological training. This is something that is from your heart to God's heart, and you actually can come to him and share what is on your heart. There's nothing that you need to do to impress God. So don't worry. Don't bother trying to babble on or trying to impress him with your words. It's really refreshing. He already knows what's on your heart. I just want to share a little snippet here. About a month ago, I was at home, and I have a prayer journal, which I actually shared about at the res service last weekend. So sorry for those of you that are hearing about this prayer journal again. And it's just a journal that I write prayers in. I basically might read some scripture, and I might write a prayer to God. I might talk to God through it. And Lewis, my four-year-old son, saw me doing this. It was about a month ago, and he sort of said, oh, what are you doing? And I said, here he is, Lewis. I said, you know, I'm just reading the Bible. I'm just writing a prayer to God. And so he quickly scurried off and went and found his kid's Bible, and he came back and joined me with his kid's Bible. And then he said, Mum, I need a journal. I need a journal to write to God in. And so I was like, oh, okay, yep, we'll go find one. And so I found this little book here. So this is your prayer journal, isn't it, Louis? Yeah. And I must admit, I kind of thought he would just scribble in it and then, you know, forget about it and that would be the end of it. But he asks Mark and I quite regularly that he has something he would like us to write in his prayer journal. And so I asked Louis for permission and he said that it was fine. And I'm actually going to read his first ever entry. And this was completely unprompted. We didn't discuss this, you know, any of these themes or anything, but this is what it says. Dear God, if there's a thunderstorm, can you heal it? I am really happy that you came to life on the cross. Thanks, God, that when I die, you will be with me. I love you. And whatever you say, Jesus, I will do it. Can you please tell me why Adam and Eve stealed the apple? And I love you, God. You're the best when I die. If there's any bad guys, can you kill them? Love, Lewis. Awesome, Louis. And I love this. I just read it back, and he's pretty pumped with himself right now. And I read it back, and I was just so in awe because I thought, this is from a four-year-old's heart. There is nothing in that that God would say isn't good enough. He would not hear that prayer from Lewis and go, oh, your grammar was a bit off there. You know, we don't say stealed, we say stole. Or he wouldn't, you know, say there's a few things maybe theologically incorrect in there. Although the Old Testament was a lot of bad guys killed. So, you know, he's sort of on the right track. But he doesn't question that. He looks at the heart it's from. And he does the same for you guys. He knows what is in your heart. And I love how it says this in verse 8. It says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In Psalm 139, it reiterates this. It says, where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. He sees and he knows all. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're processing. And now I can just imagine what you're thinking, and I've thought this too. If he knows all of these things, why do we even need to pray? Why do we even need to petition God? Why do we need to give him our requests and ask things of him if he already knows this? And I just want you in this moment to picture a relationship that you have with someone. It could be a family member or anyone, someone you're really close with. And if I use the example of Mark, my husband, think about that person. I'm going to talk about it as if it's Mark and I. Mark and I are very close. Mark knows everything about me. I think, I'm pretty sure he does, and he knows what I like, what I don't like. He knows that I'm not good in the mornings. That's true. I think most people here know that. And he knows that I'm definitely a night owl. There's lots that he knows about me. But if someone said to us, you guys need to, you can't communicate, you can't talk anymore, you've got to stop conversing, how different would our relationship be? I think it would be frustrating to say the least, but we would stop growing as a couple in closeness, in intimacy, because we would have this block there. Even if we knew things about each other, we would not grow in that relationship. And as Lauren pointed out last week, prayer is relational, not transactional. And it's not something that just happens. We have to work at this relationship with God. And that is what prayer does for us. It builds into that relationship. And as we petition him, as we ask for things of God, as we request things, we grow in that relationship with him. Prayer is actually not about results. It's amazing to think about that. Prayer is actually not about results. It's about relationship. God wants to interact with us. He wants to interact with you guys tonight. When we look at the rest of the text in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15, Jesus then outlines the Lord's Prayer, and it says this. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Essentially, we have six petitions here. We have the first three petitions, which are God-focused. So hallowed be your name. That was Lauren last week talked about adoration. God's kingdom come and his will to be done. Another two, and that's going to tie into intercession that Amanda will talk about next week. But the last three petitions here are us-focused. So give us our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and deliver us from temptation. This is a really interesting thing for us to notice when we pray. It's God first and then us. And you might even notice this in the Ten Commandments. It's the same. The first four commandments are God-focused. The last six are us-focused. It's just something I think we need to keep in mind when we're bringing our petitions and requests to God. God first and then us. Tonight I want to focus in on verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. There is honestly so much to unpack in these six small basic words. Give us today our daily bread. Firstly, I love the transition from verse 10 to verse 11. It's actually quite profound. It shows that we can be praying to this almighty God, you know, hallowed be your name, God. You are all powerful. You're amazing. To all of a sudden asking for something quite basic, bread, you know, something really basic, a basic need for our day. And there are people actually in the world today who this is still their prayer. They are literally asking for physical bread. And this is what Jesus was encouraging at the time too. He was encouraging people in one aspect to be asking for the physical needs, the things that you need for that day. And you know, I think for us here in Melbourne in Q, it's a very hard thing to imagine, I think, for most of us to have to wake up in the morning and really petition God for a basic need like food. We just can't get our heads around it, but we need to be praying for those who are still petitioning for that in many places across the world. We need to keep standing in with them, standing with them with that. I'm just going to get you to look at a quote on the screen now by Kent Hughes. It says, "The greatness of our God lies in his descending to meet us where we are. When we come to him with our little things, we do him great honour." The other thing that Jesus is encouraging us, it's not just to be asking for something, a need, and you know, he suggests bread, but it's actually the fact that he is spoken about so many times in the Bible actually as the bread of life. In the book of John, he himself refers to himself as the bread of life. And so really, we're actually encouraged to ask for Jesus daily. Daily, when we might be asking for physical things and physical bread, but we are also asking for Jesus daily. So I ask you tonight, what is your daily bread? What are your needs? What things have you been requesting from God? Maybe you're sitting here thinking, I don't really need anything. I'm really good. Life's great and it's all okay. But others of you, you might have health issues, maybe broken down relationships, financial trouble, stress at work, loneliness. There are so many things that we can need in our lives and things that we want to request from God. Sometimes what happens is that we can fall into two unhelpful traps. And the first one of those is that, like I mentioned before, we could be sitting here thinking, oh, I don't need anything. And you might think, oh, that's really good if you don't need anything. But if we don't need anything and we're not looking at our Heavenly Father for anything, we're actually not depending on him. And so part of it, this first part, is actually creating a life of surrender, daily surrender, and putting forward our needs to God and depending on him. I'm not talking about having to have a list of 10 things every day. Oh, God, I need this in my life, and I need this in my life. It could be praying for other people. If you're, you know, you don't have anything, you should be thinking and praying for other people. What are needs that you can be petitioning for to God on their behalf as well? And Amanda will talk more about intercession next week on that. So that is the first little trap there, where we can think, actually, I don't have a need, and therefore we are less likely to depend on God. The second area where we can go a little bit wrong is that we have plenty of needs, but they are all the wrong type. So, God, I need that Ferrari. I'm only going to be a good Christian if I have that Ferrari. Or I need $1 million because, you know, it's hard living in Q and I need $1 million to survive. There are things that we bring to God that we request that actually they're not in line with his character. They're not in line with his promises and they're not in line with the Bible. And so if you are here tonight thinking, oh, maybe that thing I was asking wasn't a good thing to ask, go back to scripture. the more you look at Scripture, the more you spend time with God, you will understand His character. You will know. The Holy Spirit will guide you and you'll know, actually, I think I'm asking for the wrong thing there. So, two little areas where we can go a little bit wrong. I heard someone say once before, are you asking God for bread or are you asking for dessert? And I thought that was a great quote and something to think on. So in James 4:3, we'll see it here. It really sums this up perfectly. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So I encourage you, if you are worried about things you are asking, to go back to the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. The us in give us our daily bread is really crucial. The Scripture doesn't say, give me my daily bread. It says, give us. And it reminds us that we need to be thinking about others' needs when we're praying, that we're in this together, that we're not just always focused on self and what we need. So in all of this, how do we actually petition our prayers appropriately? Do we just sort of, you know, ask God really timidly, Lord, you know, if it's okay, like if you've got time, if you're not too busy, I know you've got the whole world going on here, but, you know, if it's all right, could you maybe help me with this situation at work? No. In fact, the Bible says the complete opposite. It says to petition your prayers with confidence and in faith. And so I just want to highlight a couple of scriptures, and probably the most well-known scripture with the word petition in it is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I love this scripture because, you know, we're already thanking God for what He hasn't actually done yet. So we're so confident. We're saying, thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this situation. Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. 1 John 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And I love this, my personal favorite. You've got to wrap your heads around this one. Mark 11:22-24. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. It's pretty amazing. The authority that God gives us is incredible. Yet we sometimes come so timid with these petitions, as if we're doing the wrong thing or we're maybe trampling where we shouldn't. But He is saying, come to me with confidence and with faith. He also encourages us to hold and cling on to Him. So clinging on to Him, not our petitions. Hold your petitions loosely, hold Him closely. You'll never be disappointed. I just find it so encouraging to read through these. And I really, truly believe that if we can grasp this, we will see more answered prayer and more breakthrough in our lives and in others' lives. So sometimes we see these prayers and these petitions answered really quickly. And I can think of a time, actually, towards the end of last year, Sam, my seven-year-old, he was in prep, and there's just a few things there that were finding a little bit challenging with learning. Conscious of me talking here, but just a few challenges there. And I just went into his bedroom one night, and I thought, you know what, I'm sick of this. And I just laid my hand on him, and I just prayed over him for everything, just to, you know, just the penny to drop, just for the learning to come, just for him academically to, you know, just keep moving forward and to be kicking goals, and didn't think anything of it. Well, his teacher rang me the next day. She's like, she never ever rings me. And she said, something has happened. You know, it's just like something, it's like it's clicked. It's just clicked, like today in class. And she went through all these things that he'd done. And I just thought, yeah, I know why it's clicked, because of what happened the night before. But so often we just get a bit apathetic and we get a bit, oh, I don't know, I've asked God for that before and it hasn't happened. But we have to keep pressing into that. We have to keep asking. We have to do it with confidence. And like I said, sometimes it happens quickly like that. Other times, and I'm aware that in this room tonight, there'll be those of you that will be struggling with this, because other times you have prayed, you have petitioned God for years over something, something that you have maybe wanted, something your heart has desired, something you've wanted for your friends or for your family, and you still to this day haven't seen that prayer answered. And that is an extremely hard place to be in when you've been praying for something for so long. And I'm really just wrapped that in 2 weeks' time, Nick's going to be talking on that topic specifically, on unanswered prayer, when it's really hard to pray and when it even hurts to pray. So we'll unpack that even more then. So I love this quote from a Focus on the Family article. It says, "Even the answered prayers often have a way of begging disturbing questions. Why was Peter set free while James, the brother of John, was executed? Why was the infant Jesus allowed to escape while scores of other innocent children were slaughtered by Herod's henchmen? Why were some of the biblical heroes of faith enabled to subdue kingdoms, work righteousness, obtain promises, and stop the mouths of lions, while others were mocked, scourged, imprisoned, stoned, sawn in two, tempted, and slain with the sword? The answer, of course, is that we simply don't know. That's because the power of prayer is a mystery. We can't explain it. Either we must embrace it by faith or simply leave it alone." If you are feeling discouraged tonight, if you feel like you've been petitioning for things and you're not feeling like you're being heard or responded to, I just want to give you a couple of really practical things to keep you going, some things to do that will help. The first one is, is to ask others to pray for you and to pray with others. Matthew 18, 19 to 20 says, "Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Second point is pray specifically and incrementally. Don't just ask God for the end goal. Be specific. So I was trying to think of an example. I thought maybe if someone wanted to be a cross-cultural worker, they wanted to end up working overseas somewhere as a cross-cultural worker. Instead of just sort of praying, "God, make me a cross-cultural worker. God, make this happen," perhaps start to pray for things like, "God, show me someone or introduce me to someone who is a cross-cultural worker. Help me to meet people that have done this." Or, "Show me, God, a mission trip that I could do, just a little one to get started." Or, "Help me work out how to raise finance so that this can be a goal." So pray specifically and incrementally. And the third one, is be persistent and consistent. We can so often give up too easily. It's often the case that we just think, "I've already asked that," and we can just give up. And I think some of you in here, you know, you've worked out this amazing art at taking time out and being with God in that room that we talked about earlier and petitioning God, continuing to do that, but it can be really hard. Perhaps some of you are sitting here tonight because someone actually was doing that over your life. Maybe a grandparent, an auntie, a friend. My parents, they're here tonight. I know for sure they were petitioning God over, you know, prayers over my life. Definitely, I could have gone this way for sure. And I know that I'm standing here today because of their petition prayers, that they continued to pray, even though it might have been hard at times. I was a pretty hard teenager to raise, trust me. But maybe you're sitting here for that reason. Or maybe you're someone who has been doing this. You've been praying for someone else for so long. You've been really just sending up those petition prayers and you just, you know, you feel like, "Am I going to ever see the results from that?" But be consistent and consistent. That's my encouragement for you tonight. So we've talked about a lot of different things to do with petition. It's quite a big topic when we start to unpack it. But something I feel like I just wanted to draw out tonight was, if we don't feel confident to go to God with our petitions, it might be perhaps that we have a wrong idea of who God is. Because if you guys knew, if I knew, and I do, but and I'm sure a lot of you guys do as well, but if we really understood how good he was, how kind he was, how amazing our God is, how he wants to give us good gifts, I feel that we would all be a lot more confident in wanting to approach him. Maybe tonight you're here and you think, "I don't actually know God at all." And so it's been a struggle for you to even start on this prayer journey. Well, I encourage you, if that's you and you want to know how to get to know him better, come and have a chat afterwards. Chat to the friend you came with tonight. Talk to one of the pastors or leaders. We'd love to sit and pray with you and chat to you about who this amazing God is. Sometimes we can have this misconception too, that God is still there listening to our prayers with the big stick ready to smack, that's not a good prayer, or nope, can't have that. And it's just not who he is. He's not waiting to strike us down. He is a loving, loving Father. Something that I've just more recently realized in our Lord's Prayer is this starting statement, "Our Father in heaven." And growing up in a Christian home, you know, you hear this prayer a lot. Even most people in the world would have some understanding and think, oh yeah, that's the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven." But I must admit, as I grew up, I probably thought that it made God seem really distant. Our Father in heaven, like he's a long way away, you know, he's quite distant from us. But the word that is used here for Father, the translation actually means, well, probably more like what we would say is dad. So the translation is Abba, and it was actually a Jewish child's physical father, his or her father, their dad. And so the reason that actually it's in heaven, Jesus is saying that so that we can actually just make the distinction. It's almost like we're saying we're talking to dad, but I'm not talking to my physical dad, I'm talking to my dad in heaven. And it just, the penny dropped for me on this a little while ago. I thought, for so long I've thought, you know, at times it felt like that Lord's Prayer, he was distant and away, but actually Jesus is saying, use this word, like call him your dad. That's how close you can be with him. That's how intimate, you know, you can know him, and you're speaking to him as if he were your earthly dad here, so close. It's just such an encouragement. Something that's amazing about this Heavenly Father is that he has an amazing son called Jesus. And through Jesus and his death on the cross, we actually gain direct access to the Father. This is an amazing thing. It says in John 14, 12 to 14, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We are given such an amazing authority to access the Father through Jesus. It means that we can be really confident in our petitions and what we're asking from God, because Jesus is actually going to the Father on our behalf. There's not a probation period. If you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not as if they say, okay, we're just going to put you in this group here, new Christian guys, new Christian, so don't get confident yet or ask. As soon as you have accepted Jesus, Jesus says, oh, let me go to the Father for you, let me intercede for you, let me talk to him for you. And I was thinking about this today, thinking if you, you know, Tom's just about to come on as an intern, but if you were perhaps an intern for a really big company, maybe, you know, a huge company, and you were the intern, you're starting at that sort of lowest level, I guess, you would have to work hard, keep going and striving to maybe one day, after years and years of work, to shake the CEO's hand, perhaps, maybe just for that handshake. It is not like that with God. It is not like that with our Heavenly Father. When we accept Jesus, when we accept Christ, instantly we are there. We are a part of his family. We are one of his children. We have direct access to the Father. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, have a think about what that actually means. When we're asking for things, when we're petitioning and requesting God for things in Jesus' name, how do you think the Father receives those prayers? He receives them pretty well, because his son Jesus is actually passing these on to him. It's an amazing thing that we need to just soak in more and more. I think if we can fully grasp this, that Jesus is actually there talking to the Father on our behalf, it changes how we pray and we come to him in so much more confidence. And so tonight, guys, I'm just praying for you guys and praying for myself too, that we can just step into confidence in this, that we can start to approach our Heavenly Father in our room, whatever that looks like. In our room, we can have that time away with him where we approach him with confidence and give our prayers, our petitions to him. Maybe it is something for you personally, maybe it's for someone else, but he is so ready to hear those petitions. So I'm just going to invite the band to come back up and I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you just want to meet us, Lord. You just want to sit and be with your children, God. You have so many amazing things to talk to us about, so many amazing things to show us in our life, Lord, so many beautiful and precious gifts to give us, Lord. And we praise you for that, Lord. We are so thankful. We are so grateful. Lord, I want to pray for everyone here tonight, Lord. I just ask if there are people in here tonight that just don't know you, God, they can't actually approach you because they just don't know